And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Happy New Year, brought to you by our good friends at Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Nick Alberga and Anna Dewitt with you for another waiver wire edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. On today's episode, we'll look ahead to Week 13, plus some other hot-button topics making headlines in the fantasy hockey world right now. Might even get to some of your Instagram questions, too, so wait on that. First and foremost, shout-out to our captain, Pete Jensen, who's under the weather. Feel better soon. Pete will be back in no time. As I say hello and Happy New Year to the one and only Anna Dewitt. What's going on, Anna?
Everything's great. I'm excited for 2023. Happy New Year, Nick.
Happy New Year as well. Hyped up. Winter Classic was phenomenal, and we get set for the unofficial second half of this season, and also set for Waiver Wire James in his first edition of 2023. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, Happy New Year. Excited to get 2023 off to a rocking and rolling start. And obviously, not only is this a podcast, but it's a celebration, because we are celebrating Anna's birthday on the podcast.
Thanks, James.
From over the weekend. So happy birthday, Anna.
Finally, some appreciation. Nick didn't give me any appreciation there off the top, but thank you, James.
News to me. Let's get into the waiver wire list, guys. And happy birthday, Anna. There you go. There, I said congrats on the level up on Instagram. What more do you need? The Los Angeles Kings certainly have been providing a lot for fantasy owners right now. You're pretty much attacking a line this week, James.
Yeah, and I have always been a Victor Arvidsson guy. I love the game that he has, and it's really starting to round into form a little bit now out in L.A. You know, we saw flashes when he played in Nashville, those back-to-back 61-point seasons about 5-6 years ago there, and then he kind of always just struggled, whether it was injury, lineup placement, whatever it is, but 49 points in 66 games last year, and now 30 points in 36 games this year. He's getting on a really underrated line with Alex Iafallo and Phil Deneau out there. And so there's a lot of potential to tap into up and down that lineup with the Kings right now. But I'm hammering that second line with Iafallo, Deneau, and Arvidsson any chance that I can get.
So I think a lot of people forget that the Kings are still second in the Pacific right now behind Vegas. They're a little bit of an underrated team. I mean, for us in our rankings, Kevin Fiala is the highest player we have ranked on this team, and he's just barely in the top 100. But I agree with you, James. I think there's a lot of value deeper in this lineup. Alex Iafallo is a player that I'm seriously focusing on right now. He's only 7% rostered in most fantasy leagues. I think he's a great pickup right now. There's a lot of injuries in the Pacific, too. So the Kings are looking good in a lot of matchups.
Yeah, and there's a lot of depth there, like you said, not only on the forwards, but every one of their defensemen has been chipping in, whether it's been Doughty or Durzi or Roy or anybody. And then obviously the Phoenix Copley story still isn't going away. He's still being very productive. And like you said, surprisingly and very, you know, under the radar, they're second in that division still. A lot of us had them as a playoff team going into the season, and despite all the ups and downs, they're still a very, very productive team, albeit the eye test doesn't always show that. But it is a team, like you said, you want to be tapping into right now, and you want to be really, really hammering those underlying guys that you wouldn't think are going to be as productive at the moment. And yet they're putting up really great numbers. And we've seen Iafallo do this over the past couple of seasons, right? He's had a bunch of opportunities in that top line with Kopitar and Kempe, and he's been productive when he's been given those chances. And so this is another one of those opportunities in the top six where he's taking it and running. And, you know, I agree. He's one of those guys, like I said before, on that line with Arvidsson, Deneau. You just got to jump on right now while he's on a burner.
James, speaking of garden seats, Kale Yarncroke, a four-game week here for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's skating with John Tavares and Mitch Marner on line two. All this guy's done is produce since coming back from a groin injury, a five-game point streak, 3 goals, 7 points. And most importantly, I think, in my opinion, he's tri-eligible, James.
Huge, huge boost in fantasy value, aside from the fact that he's playing with Tavares and Nylander at even strength. But then you also look at the matchups that they have coming up this week, and it's one of those things where you just absolutely have to be hammering this guy. I mean, St. Louis, Seattle, Detroit, and Philadelphia aren't exactly really barn burners when it comes to goaltending these days. And so the combination of him being tri-eligible, him having the lineup placement, and then him having a very, very favorable schedule against some very weak defensive teams, I'd be hammering Kelly Yarncroke right now. He's definitely one of the top guys that you should be adding this week.
He's one of those players that I'm looking at because of his lineup placement, as both of you guys said. But another player that I'm looking at because of lineup placement is Connor Sherry of the Washington Capitals. Is this one of the last times we're going to be able to pick him up? Because with Tom Wilson coming back from injury rather soon, Sherry's going to be bumped from the line he's on right now with Evgeny Kuznetsov. And so it's going to be tough to see the value in him. Do you think he has staying power, or is this the time to pick him up? He's only 12% rostered, so he's very readily available.
Yeah, he's playing with this really young guy down in Washington named Alex Ovechkin. I think this kid might be a stud. He's going to have a future somewhere.
I think so, too.
I think so, too. I mean, you know, but I would definitely say, yeah, his clock is probably running out. The only thing I could maybe see is after Wilson comes back, Sherry gets dropped down to that second line, maybe bumping Sonny Milano if his play doesn't hold up, and you know, replacing Milano on that second line with Strom and Anthony Mantha. Outside of that right now, I have a hard time finding a place in the top six once Wilson comes back. That really seems like the only vulnerability in that top six is Milano's spot, unless, you know, they ease a guy like Wilson back in and they throw him in that spot with Milano because of the chemistry right now that you're seeing with Sherry and Ovechkin playing with Kuznetsov. So it's going to be a very interesting shakeup. Obviously, also once Nick Backstrom comes back to that Capitals top six, you know, where he slots in that lineup, because Dylan Strome has been a very underrated contributor for them, like a lot of us had predicted in the offseason as well. So there's going to be a lot of flux over the next month or so in that Capitals rotation. It's definitely something you want to be keeping an eye on. But I would be taking a flyer on Connor Sherry right now until that happens, because he does have a lot of value with his lineup placement and his exposure.
You're right. There's plenty of fantasy ramifications stemming from the Washington Capitals, which we'll get to in the next couple of weeks for sure with Backstrom and also even Oshie and also Wilson coming back to that Washington Capitals lineup. But I wanted to converse a bit about the Minnesota Wild. Ryan Hartman recently came back from injury. I think we can all agree he was an easy fade coming into the season, coming off the monster breakout campaign, but he's starting to cook a bit here, James.
Yeah, his campaign last year kind of came out of nowhere. And so, you know, when you look at the production, 65 points was a more than double his former career high, which was 31. You know, 34 goals, 31 assists. He had never scored more than 19 goals in a season. But this year, he still does have 9 points in 15 games. So, you know, he is proving a little bit that that wasn't as much of a fluke as everybody was expecting. He just happened to miss over 20 games so far with an injury that took him out for, you know, half of November and almost all of December. So he's on that third line right now with Freddie Gaudreau, your boy Freddie Hockey. And, you know, he's starting to develop a little bit of that game back. He's getting his feet back. And so there's a chance that if Sam Steele starts to, you know, regress a little bit in that first center slot with Kaprizov and Zuccarello, that we could see Hartman bumped back up there where he was last season and where he had that great success. So he's definitely a guy that you want to be monitoring to see if this lineup placement holds. And if his production continues, does he get that bump up? Because we have seen inconsistencies on that top line with Kaprizov, Steele, and Zuccarello over the last few weeks.
You actually just teed me up perfectly. We're thinking the same thing. We're on the same wavelength right now, James, because I was just about to ask. I'm a little bit concerned about Ryan Hartman's lineup placement because I like Matt Boldy just as much as the next guy, but he doesn't have that same level of consistency as those top line guys in Minnesota. Sam Steele also very easily available in most leagues. He's 7% rostered right now. So if you had to pick up one, are you going Ryan Hartman, who's 30% rostered, or Sam Steele with 7?
I'm definitely going Hartman. I just have more faith and more trust that he's going to be able, you know, to produce at that level. We've never seen Steele consistently be able to produce. And we talked about Steele 3-4 weeks ago on the podcast when he first got that lineup placement and that exposure to Kaprizov and Zuccarello. And we ran through, you know, his career numbers that he had in Anaheim and was it the player or was it just the situation? And he is having a very solid season in comparison to his previous years. But again, the pedigree right now of Hartman having the chemistry and the history with Zuccarello and Kaprizov from last year definitely makes me think that at some point, if his production level continues like this, there's no way that they can't bump him back up in that lineup and you know, put him back there and see what they can do, because that offense has really been struggling a little bit lately.
It has. And certainly you have a bunch of vets on your list. We have a couple of youngsters, Jonathan Berggren here with Detroit and Owen Tippett with the Philadelphia Flyers, who's playing with Frost and JVR. You look at Berggren, 3-game point streak, 2 goals and an assist, and he's playing with Andrew Kopp and Lucas Raymond. Who of the two do you like more here, James?
You know, I've always kind of been a Tippett guy, dating back to the days in Florida. It was a numbers game and he didn't get the opportunity. He's starting to get the opportunity now in Philadelphia and he's starting to cook. But, you know, you have to appreciate what Berggren is doing in Detroit. He's a rookie. He comes in. He's got 13 points in 22 games. He's playing top 6 minutes right now. He doesn't look uncomfortable at all, but obviously we know they do have some players who are going to be coming back sometime soon in Verana, who we've talked about in the past couple of weeks on the pod. And Detroit just extended his conditioning stint in the AHL to the full 2 weeks. So we still have a little bit more time, you know, before he comes back. And then obviously you have Bertuzzi coming back at some point too. So, you know, again, it's a thing with the numbers game. It's going to catch up to these guys at some point, but I definitely think that he has some short-term streaming potential, but obviously just knowing the fact that that lineup is going to be shaken up in the next few weeks gives me a little bit more pause on him than it would a guy like Tippett.
I don't know if you guys agree, but for me right now, I don't think there's a better team in the NHL for waiver wire pickups than the Detroit Red Wings. We talked about Berggren. You mentioned Rasmussen briefly, but I got to shift back to the blue line. And I want to talk about my guy, Jake Walman. Had to teach Nick what the gritty was because he had an amazing celebration after scoring the OT winner for the Red Wings a couple of days ago. But Jake Walman is a player that's really impressed me because even though he has only 4 points in 19 games, he's routinely putting up 3 shots a night, and he's going to see some production uptake if he keeps playing like this. He was playing with Philip Pronek, who was having a breakout year this year. So what do you think about Jake Walman? Is he worth picking up?
In deeper leagues, I would say yes, just because of the amount of category coverage that he does get. Like you said, you know, he's shooting the lights out right now. Almost 3 shots on goal in every game over his last about 7 or 8. He did even have a 5-shot game in there. So he is that kind of category coverage king. He does add a hit or two. He gets a lot of block shots. So in deeper leagues and category coverage leagues, yes, he's a DFS goldmine when it comes to that stuff. I mean, shots and blocks on, shots on goal and block shots. I had him in my DFS lineup a couple of times over the past week, and he was an absolute just points goldmine for me. So he's one of those guys that I'm definitely going to be looking at in situations like that. I don't know if I'm fully jumping on streaming him just yet, but as a spot pickup, if it's a matchup dependent, I'm jumping all over a guy like that.
Just to rebuttal, I'm all for celebrations. I'm all for personality in the NHL, but I thought it was a bit excessive, especially with Sidney Crosby a meter away and his 3 Stanley Cups, by the way. That's all I'll say on that front. Okay, last one here. Antti Raanta, the Carolina Hurricanes. We all thought it was Kochetkov's time. Hell, I even took a flyer on a Rookie of the Year award, and now all of a sudden, Antti Raanta 7-0-0 in the past 8 games with 2 shutouts here, James.
An impressive run to see from this guy, and we always knew that he had this ability in there, right? He was always one of the best backup goaltenders in the league. He's put up very solid underlying numbers out in Arizona on a bad team there, and you know, every time that he steps in for Carolina, he gives them an opportunity to win a game. So this isn't really surprising. I think the most surprising thing is the fact that it didn't really seem like Pyotr Kochetkov had done anything to be sitting this long, you know, to be benched this long. And so I think that that's kind of just an ode to what might be coming once Freddie Anderson, you know, gets back to the lineup. Is I think that they're probably going to send Kochetkov back down because they want him playing. It's kind of, you know, the situation right now going on in Philadelphia with Carter Hart and Sam Ersson, right? Like, Ersson has been playing excellent lately, but once Carter Hart comes back, they are going to probably send Ersson down so that, you know, he can get the seasoning and keep playing. I expect the same thing with Carolina and Kochetkov right now. They don't want him sitting and, you know, letting that talent go to waste and letting that performance get stale. So You know, I think that this is kind of just them ramping up Ranta to see a lot more starts once Freddie Anderson comes back, because I don't think we're going to be seeing much of Kochetkov at the moment.
He tweaked something a couple of games ago, which I think was the reason he sat originally, and then Antti Raanta went on this run, and rightfully so. He's been playing great, but I think Kochetkov's going to get a couple more opportunities here, and he's going to be fighting to stay in that lineup for Carolina. And also, shout out to the Canes. I mean, they have the fewest shots allowed per game in the NHL, so whoever you're putting between the pipes in Carolina, they're going to do well.
11-game win streak as we speak right now for the Carolina Hurricanes. They've been a tremendous story, and suddenly another three-headed goalie monster. You guys love that on Long Island as well. James, excellent stuff. Appreciate this, and we're off to a great start here in 2023.
Awesome, guys. Yeah, thank you. I'll see you guys soon. Happy New Year to all the listeners.
Okay, Anna, let's look at the Week 13 schedule now. You guys know I love schedule manipulation. The four-game teams to target in terms of the waiver wire: Anaheim, Arizona, Boston, Columbus, St. Louis, Toronto, and Washington. And you want to stay away from Buffalo, Ottawa, and San Jose. Since we're on the Sabres, those three teams play three times, or twice, actually. Since we're on the Sabres, there seems to be an uproar on Twitter and social media the last couple of days that Buffalo has a fighting shot to get in a playoff spot. Do you believe in that?
I do believe in that. I think the Sabres have proven this year that there's a lot of talent on this team. There's a lot of players that have actually taken the next step this year. Jeff Skinner is finally making his contract look like a good deal. Tage Thompson is going to be one of the most elite players in the NHL right now. I actually heard someone ask whether you would rather have Tage Thompson or Austin Matthews in a fantasy league. And can you imagine asking that question before this season started? And to be honest, I had to think about it. And I might be even leaning Tage Thompson right now just because of the way he's playing. Alex Tuck is doing great. Dylan Cousins has just taken the next level in his game. I think Rasmus Dahlin has spoken for himself, and they have a good goalie situation too. They have UPL, they have Craig Anderson, and I think they've proven themselves this far as this season. And so the Buffalo Sabres could very easily make it into the playoffs. They're a very sneaky team. They're a gritty team. They could really get there.
I struggle with this question. I'm sorry. And Johnny Lazarus, good friend of the podcast and I, who listens quite frequently, went back and forth on social the last couple of days. Who are they taking out, Anna, is my question. Like, I get it from a fantasy perspective. There's a lot of fantastic players. I'm not disputing that, but I don't know who they're taking out, who's in right now.
It's so tough because when I'm looking at the Eastern Conference, like the New York Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins are the two wild card teams at the moment. The Islanders are right behind the Penguins. They have the same amount of points, 44 points for both of those teams. Detroit's 39 and then Buffalo's 38. Ottawa's 37. So it's right on Buffalo's tails. The Ottawa Senators picking up some momentum. They have a top five power play in the NHL right now. Some of their players are standing out to me like Drake Batherson. So they're going to be fighting with Buffalo to even get higher in those standings. And it's tough because the teams at the top in the Atlantic and Metro, they're just doing great. Carolina on that 11-game win streak, looking to make it 12 tonight against the Rangers. New Jersey, the surprise team of the season. I think they're taking a spot away from someone that we didn't see coming. And then Washington is doing well as of late. Boston, Toronto, don't have to say much about them. They've been doing good all season. And then Tampa Bay is a team you just can't get rid of. So it's tough. I think the team that's going to have to go is going to be one of the Metro teams. The New York Rangers or the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to have to fall out for Buffalo to make it in.
We'll disagree on that front. We'll agree to disagree. You talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins, took part in the Winter Classic. I love the ceremonial first puck pitch. That was tremendous. Love seeing my boy Timmy Wakefield and Jason Veritek. Brought back all the feels of the Red Sox and also Pittsburgh and Boston in the Winter Classic at Fenway. But Tristan Jarry gets banged up. That's the big story for me. And I thought it was a tough loss to swallow overall for the Pens. Casey DeSmith comes in. He's the in-house replacement. I think if Jari's forced to miss time, I think you look there. You mentioned Buffalo. UPL, I think, is another guy I'd look at picking up on the waiver wire right now. Charlie Lindgren of the Washington Capitals, I think, is wrestling some playing time away from a Darcy Kemper. And then the Carolina tandem, right, with Raanta and Pyotr Kochetkov. I think, fortunately for fantasy owners who have Tristan Jarry, there's a couple guys you can go to right now on the waiver wire, Anna.
Absolutely. And I mean, Tristan Jarry is just the biggest blow to the Penguins. He was such a big part of the great stretch they had to end 2022. And it's going to be tough. So that's a team that maybe I'm swaying away from. And you mentioned some great options. Charlie Lindgren in particular is really standing out to me right now because Washington, I can't talk enough about how great their goalie system is. That team has created so many great goaltenders for so many different NHL teams. And I think he's proven himself in every single opportunity he's gotten. I really would not be surprised if he'd be getting a majority of the starts to end the season.
I definitely agree. And I think you look at that Metro division in particular, and also the returns potential here for the Capitals we brought up earlier, Backstrom, Wilson, Oshie. It seems like all these guys are getting healthy at the same time. And I just wonder what that means for fantasy value on guys like Kuznetsov and Ovechkin and Strom. I think there's going to be a bit of a boost there, clearly with Kemper and Lindgren in between the pipes, an opportunity to buy. But I think you look at their current top six, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Sherry, as you brought up earlier, Milano, Strom, and Mantha. I think a couple of these guys are going to get squeezed out of prime opportunities in the next little while here, Anna.
They absolutely are. So if there's ever a time to pick up someone for a short period of time, it's right now. Connor Sherry being the one that's standing out to me the most, because Tom Wilson is probably going to take his spot, has great chemistry with that line when he's healthy. So Connor Sherry, this might be the last time we can take advantage of him, and he's readily available. So I'd pick him up for a little short stint on my fantasy team. But shifting over to another team in the Metropolitan Division that I really want to ask you about. We talk about this team a lot. I really don't know how I feel about the New Jersey Devils. I feel like they went on this crazy win streak. They were the hottest team in the NHL. Now that throne has been given to the Carolina Hurricanes and the Devils. There was a lot of value on this team. I know you bullied me on Twitter for Dawson Mercer and his lack of production as of late, but do you still like this team? Do you like deep down the depth chart? Do you think there's still value in guys like Sharon Govich and Zetterlund, who we were hyping up at the start of the season?
Firstly, it wasn't bullying. I was merely pointing out the lack of production the last little while for your boy Dawson Mercer, but he had a good weekend, so he responded accordingly. Sometimes I feel like some of these guys read social media, but that's a story for another day. As for your question on New Jersey, I think they're ripe for the picking in terms of regression, right? You start the season, you win pretty much every game for the first 25. There's going to be some lulls. I think some guys like Jesper Bratt are starting to turn things on again. We all know how I felt about Dougie Hamilton coming into the season. Jack Hughes is having an epic season as well. Could be in contention for the Hart Trophy. Like, there's players I would go through, but certainly I think if you're looking for depth, I don't think now is the time when you look at the New Jersey Devils. I think I'm in a wait and see type approach, because again, things start to even out over the course of an 82 game slate. How do you feel about the Devils right now? You're probably a bit higher than me, right?
No, I actually agree with you.
Really?
For the first time in probably ever. New year, new us, I guess. But yeah, yes. I think the Devils are set for regression as well. I'm particularly concerned with their goaltender situation. Mm-hmm. I know Mackenzie Blackwood, he actually had a great game against the Carolina Hurricanes on Anna Day, my birthday, January 1st, where he had 43 saves on 47 shots. He let in a couple of concerning goals, but overall, good numbers on the stats. Vitek Vanacek is a player a lot of people were very high on this season as a goalie pickup, and he started the year off so strong that he just skyrocketed in fantasy rankings. So are you swaying away from Vitek Vanacek? Do you think he's going to make a little bit of a comeback as they try to fight down the stretch?
I would sell high. I don't know if that window is still open. We talked about this on the pod a couple of weeks ago. Mackenzie Blackwood, I think, is going to wrestle away some playing time over the next little while. I think that's evident already. And I think if there's still a window for you to sell high on Vitek Vanacek, it's now. I just think the body of work, the resume, the career just speaks for itself. And I think the numbers the last little while, even dating back to December 1st, suggest this is more Vitek Vanacek we expected. I think somewhere in between the hot start and now is probably where I would forecast him. And I think if you have the opportunity to get somebody who's an upgrade on Vanacek, I think you do so right now, Anna.
I agree with you. And I just want to quickly shift over to the Western Conference, because we're talking about a team like the New Jersey Devils who started off hot and now they're regressing. What about a team that started off a little bit cold, but I'm kind of liking as of late, the Calgary Flames? So they've won two in a row right now. And they're a team that I think a lot of people had very high expectations for. A lot of us had them pretty deep into the playoffs in our preseason predictions. Do you like the Flames right now? Do you think they're going to make a little bit of a comeback and look like the Calgary we know and love? Because they're third right now in their division.
Yeah, definitely buying on Calgary from a fantasy perspective in the second half. I think Huberto for sure, Kadri for sure, Elias Lindholm has started to cook the last little while. Like, there's guys on that roster I want to own in the second half. And hell, I even think they make a charge for first in that division. I feel that strongly about the Calgary Flames. Don't forget, there's a lot of racetrack. And even looking back at last season, they didn't make a surge till late in the season, right? And they come back and win that division. So I would never discount and dispute the Calgary Flames. One team I would look at right now, and I'm, you know, interested in getting your thoughts on the St. Louis Blues, who, as you know, could play a big time factor and role in the trade deadline. And not one, but two massive blows on Monday, announcing Ryan O'Reilly and a broken foot out at least 6 weeks, and Vladimir Tarasenko with a hand injury at least out 4 weeks. Like, it looks like the Blues are selling, no?
I agree. I mean, it's so tough. This team is riddled with injuries. I feel like they're getting injuries every single game. A player comes back. Jordan Kyrou got injured. He's back. And now they got hit with these two big injuries. And they're a team that to be honest, I haven't been very high on. I know Pete's pretty high on them, but I wasn't high on them heading into this season because there's concerns I have in the lineup. I'm not a big Jordan Binnington gal. I think he's a pretty inconsistent goaltender, and he was my biggest concern with St. Louis. I don't think if they're losing these big pieces that they're losing to injury, they're going to be able to make it up with the roster they have right now. It sucks. They have a lot of great young talent. Jordan Kyrou, Robert Thomas, there are two really, really good young players, but the team as a whole, I mean, it's getting more competitive, and I just don't think the Blues have what it takes.
Yeah, and we brought up earlier too, we neglected to mention the lone defenseman on the list was Cali Rosen, who has taken over some duties from Torrey Krug, who's out of that lineup as well. I think the injury is starting to rack up for the St. Louis Blues, and I think they're starting to figure out maybe this isn't your season. But you look at Buchnevich, Thomas, and Kyrou in the top line, Saad, Shen, and Barbashev. I think if you have the opportunity to sell on some of these guys, I'm doing so, because I think they've been stripped of their depth, clearly losing O'Reilly, losing Tarasenko. Again, no Krug in the back end. They're letting goals left and right. I just don't think this is the year for the St. Louis Blues, which, you know, I was a bit more bullish than most people. I know Pete was as well, but certainly I think when you look at the lack of depth, that's, you know, been a noticeable story the last little while, the goaltending and the PK. I think everything leads this team to believe that they could be a big time seller at the deadline and get some pretty damn good pieces, I think, especially for those two guys I mentioned who are injured right now.
Yeah, I'd like to see what they do. That'll maybe change my opinion, but the way it stands right now, I mean, the St. Louis Blues are just a team that I'm absolutely staying away from in fantasy. Shifting on over to a team that I think is a little underrated. I think the Blues were overrated, but a team that's underrated, the Seattle Kraken. When is this team going to get the respect that it deserves? Because I feel like the Kraken has so many good opportunities to pick up a variety of players. I specifically want to talk about Adam Larson right now. He's playing with Vince Dunn on their top defense pairing. He has 6 points in his past 6 games, 1 goal, 5 assists in the span. I mean, what do you think about him? He's a surprise pickup, maybe.
Yeah, he's a short-term guy. Like, we all know he's a shutdown defenseman. I think when you find pockets in the schedule and you find guys who are producing, I think you have to take a flyer at the very least, right? I think there's just not enough depth on the blue line in fantasy hockey if you have standard categories that I think you have to hunt a bit. And I think you look at Larson, you look at Seattle in general, they've been scoring way more goals this year. I'm certainly looking in that direction. Yanni Gord's a guy I've gone to quite a bit the last little while. And the guy I would bring up too is Oliver Bjorkstrand. He, by his standards, he's really, really struggled, as you know, in the first half coming off that trade from Columbus. And I think he has some sneaky upside in value here in the second half, Anna.
He absolutely does. He's still getting a lot of shots on net. Yeah. I think a lot of people forget how talented Oliver Bjorkstrand really was. He was such a valuable part of that Blue Jackets team, and he still leads the Seattle Kraken in shots this season. He has 92 on the year. He's just not getting that opportunity to produce. Maybe his luck turns around in 2023, but if he starts finding the back of the net with all of these shots that he's putting up, he's going to be a great, great player. I could see him going on a stretch very, very soon.
I like that. Moose writes in via Instagram. Phenomenal name, if that is your name. Is it time to drop Ryan O'Reilly? I think that's an easy yes. Last time I checked, he's under 35% roster owned anyway, so that's easy for me. He's out for the next, 6 weeks? Somebody writes in, drop Campbell can be gold in the end, I think. What's your read on Edmonton, right? Because Stuart Skinner has been a phenomenal story, Anna. I think to the point he could join us on the beach in Sunrise in a month. Like, he's been that good, and I think he's trending towards being an all-star. I think we'll find out definitively coming up on Thursday, but that it's not good for Campbell's fantasy value, but I think he does have sneaky appeal in the second half. Maybe I'm alone on that.
I'm right there with you. I think Stuart Skinner has really made a storyline for himself in Edmonton. Edmonton, like the Carolina Hurricanes, is one of those teams that they have such a power offense. They have some good players on the blue line. Tyson Barrie having a great season up there in Edmonton, that they set up their goalies for success a lot. So when you don't take advantage of that opportunity the way Jack Campbell didn't to start the year off, someone else can take it from you. And I was very impressed with Stuart Skinner's last 2 games. I mean, he's had a couple of great games. That game against Calgary, where he allowed only 1 goal and 47 shots, that was a performance that sealed the deal for me. I think he's the guy in Edmonton right now. Jack Campbell, it does have some sneaky upside. I was very high on him heading into this season. I had the Edmonton Oilers as my pick in the Stanley Cup playoffs because I thought they addressed their goaltender issue with the addition of Jack Campbell. So I think he's going to turn it around. I just don't know if Stuart Skinner keeps putting up these crazy games and crazy flashes being as young as he is, if they're going to give Jack Campbell the opportunity that he wishes he had.
You and I have had enough on the Jack Campbell conversation, so we'll leave it. One more and we'll wrap. What do you do with Aaron Ekblad? I think as a whole, fantasy-wise, the Panthers have been a massive disappointment so far this season, and I know who's feeling good about that, the Montreal Canadiens and their fans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny because the biggest story of the offseason was this huge trade with Huberto and Tkachuk, and everyone's like, which team is going to become better, the Calgary Flames, the Florida Panthers? And then both of these teams started this year off with being pretty big fantasy disappointments. But Aaron Ekblad, I mean, man, there's nothing I can say right now. Brandon Montour is stealing the show for me in Florida. I think he's having a great season. Gustav Forsling is worth picking up. Aaron Ekblad just isn't worth the value he's at. I think a lot of people know his potential. I think he's still regarded as a very valuable defenseman, but for me, there's just so many better options with players who are bouncing back or breaking out this season.
Anna, excellent job. A happy new year, happy Anna Day, or whatever you call it. And looking forward to 2023 with you and Pete, and week 13 in general should be fun.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Many thanks to Waiver Wire James for joining us and getting you set for week 13 of the fantasy hockey season. For Anna Dua and producer Bob Bender, I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.